Russian interference and news deserts. Both are pretty bad.
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for April 22nd, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. It's pretty much what the headlines are. I started by talking about the Mueller report and Russian interference,
right,
and how the Russians really want us at each other's throats. And I mean, we didn't need much help with that, did we?
No, we didn't. We do that pretty well on our own.
Yeah. So there's that. And also, I talk about news deserts. And this is a new phrase for me. Apparently, it's been around for a little while.
Huh.
And what that means is we've just passed 1,500 towns or municipalities that no longer have a daily or weekly newspaper servicing them. And that's really bad. If you're a corrupt local official, this is the best days ever because no one's covering you.
Right.
And so we had comments, I imagine, on all of
we
this.
We did. Froxus 0.820 says, is there really a lack of news? To me, it feels more like information overload. War in Yemen, civil strife in Libya, talks with Taliban, Sudan protests, etc. There is something out there, so much out there happening that I need to find the tree in the forest that does not include trying to follow up on stories that interest me.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's not like there's no news, but the problem is covering Yemen and all those big international stories and the president and all that stuff. But what's not being covered is county commission meetings and zoning meetings and all that stuff, because I'm sorry, bloggers just aren't going to do that.
No, it's not exciting or
particularly. No, it's not interesting. But it's government that actually does impact you. And the fact that it's going away is bad. And quite frankly, I'm going to. Full disclosure here, the death of newspapers and the consolidation of newspapers, the shrinking of newspapers hurts me. I do cartoons for newspapers. And when there are no newspapers or when there's fewer of them or fewer real estate dedicated to cartoons, that hurts me. So, that's a gotta admit. So I'm just admitting that it's also personal.
Well, very interesting. We had two commenters who are usually completely at odds. Kind of agree a little on this.
Oh,
Jay
no.
Gray says, there is a lack of news, quote unquote. What we have is an overabundance of opinion, pretending to be news. There are a lot of opinion shows that brand themselves as such. Hannity and The View are prime examples. But then there are opinion shows that brand themselves as news. Maddow, Morning Joe, and just about everything else on CNN and MSNBC. The issue is people want their news to validate their opinions, to which Darson54 says, yes, a very good point. News reporting takes time and expertise. You have to gather facts, verify them, and assemble them into a coherent whole. That's expensive. Just gathering a bunch of experts to yammer about a topic is cheap and fast. Today, the news business is chasing an audience.
Yeah, Darson touched on it, cheap and fast. Everyone has an opinion. I have an opinion. You have an opinion. I have a podcast to express my opinion. But it's not news in the strictest sense. So I love that. I mean, I love that that exchange was absolutely right. We have very little news and a whole lot of opinion.
Right. And when Dan Holt complained that I get mad when after paying for an online subscription, I'm still inundated with ads that obscure and distract from the content.
Yeah, I work for a newspaper that does that. Their online experience is really unpleasant, quite frankly.
I don't mind the ads because I know that they pay for it, but they tend to block what you want to see. They just pop up in front of what you're reading. And,
yeah, they're intrusive as hell.
Right. If they were on the side,
well, the New York Times actually addressed this issue a year or two ago, and they handle it really, really well. They have fewer ads. I think they charge more for them. And they're also very selective as to who can advertise on their site. That seems to me to be a better approach than, you go to any news site. And again, being totally honest here, you go to the Chicago Tribune site, it's terrible. It's a bad experience because this ads pop up all over the place. And I thought we got rid of pop-ups in the 90s. I guess I was wrong.
No, apparently not. Still get those ones that kind of move around. You're about to click the X and then they move the whole ad. So you end up
Oh, you still get
clicking.
Those?
Yeah,
those.
Not
wow.
that often, but once in a while. So you think you're clicking the X and it moves and you end up clicking on the ad.
So we hate those.
We do.
We do. But subscribe. I would subscribe to, you can. The thing is, you're being asked to subscribe to everything. Music, your videos, your entertainment. Everything is subscription-based now. And this is one more thing. What I would do is be selective, but pick your local newspaper and get at least a digital subscription, which is nominal. And you're supporting journalism, which is important, but you're also going to get real news.
Right. So on the Russian interference, Neatslob says, if there was no collusion, that means Putin thought Trump was best for Russia.
Yeah, I thought the whole story is just so flippin' weird. You know, I'm looking up at the news now, and the president has tweeted some other idiotic thing, and it's hard to keep up. So, yeah, I don't know what to do. Yes, good comment.
Okay, well, I guess we'll just go past all that. And you had a lot of comments on your Bernie Sanders Easter cartoon.
I bet I did.
Some of them were discussing socialism, but most people were just really disappointed in you.
Really?
Durack says, I was very disappointed. I honestly expect better of Stantis. He is usually the moderate, reasonable voice among conservatives. For him to just throw something up this poorly done is surprising. And Mark Spiglin said, I assumed a conservative would want to keep Easter about Jesus, but I guess not.
Well, that my editorial cartoon certainly was. But here's the thing about Bernie Sanders and socialism. Socialism is about redistribution of wealth. And that's all that cartoon illustrated. I can't imagine people getting upset about something that illustrates it, I think it was a little lazy in the sense that it uses a fairly hackneyed metaphor, but that's exactly what happens under a Bernie Sanders presidency. And a Bernie Sanders philosophy is that they would take a lot of other people's stuff and give it to other people they view as more deserving. And that's where my conservatism and my libertarianism really does come to the fore.
Seems to me that with Carmen having that many eggs, she should have anyway offered to share them with Winslow.
Well, that's the point. That's what makes a conservative and a libertarian, is that you want to voluntarily hope for that when people enter into that kind of thing that you're describing, sharing and empathy and compassion, when it's voluntarily given, it's much more sincere and it runs much deeper and it's more productive and it's more honest.
Unfortunately, that doesn't really happen, as you know, with CEOs of companies not wanting to voluntarily share their salary with the people who work under them, even if it means they have to lay them off to save money.
So what would you do? They should be allowed to make that money.
I think unfortunately, okay, just letting it go the way it is hasn't worked.
Well, you and I disagree.
Yeah.
On this.
Okay.
And I still love you.
I love you too.
Well, there you go. See, we can get along. No,
yes, we can.
I think you put limits on salaries or things like that, you're asking for a whole world of trouble. And
well, what would you do about that? Because you have yourself complained about the amount of money CEOs make.
What I would do is, I think many of the laws pertaining to board of directors, and this is really boring stuff. I'm sorry. You guys can go and talk amongst yourselves while we have this conversation. Excuse me. I would regulate boards. I would say that a friend of mine has an interesting solution. You can't pay a CEO or board members with stock.
Hmm.
I think then if you're talking about actually dipping into the actual worth of a company, I think they're going to be a lot less generous than they are today.
Maybe.
I mean, there are solutions like that that aren't as draconian as we're going to control everybody's income.
But what about people who, like you talk about the 1% and people who have a lot of money, so much money, that they could never spend all that money? Maybe they're not taxed high enough?
No, I don't know that that's a crime. It's not a crime to have that much money, is it?
No, but maybe you're not paying as proportionately as much taxes as someone who makes less.
The 1% or 2% of this country pay what, 60% of the income tax? I mean, that seems to me to be, I mean, you could increase income taxes, I suppose. I don't think people would be for this. Although we tax at a level now that's around the 1920s, which, how that decade end for us, I'm trying to think. You younger folks can Google that. Anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
No other comments? Okay. Well, we'll leave on that then.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Seed Podcast. If you want to keep up on the antics of Carmen and Winslow, please do so by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city. Register, get free stuff. And that's really awesome. They don't send you a lot of mail. That's nice. I mean, it's not, you know, sometimes you register for things and it's a real pain in the ass because it's just, you just get inundated with stuff. This doesn't happen with Go Comics, so I would urge you, just because it's cool, to do that. Also, if you want to leave a comment, we just might read it here on the podcast. That's exciting. And if you want... And if you contact us directly, you're more than welcome to at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brian Altheimer, our wonderful producer. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for hosting us. And thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
And lastly, thank you for listening to this podcast. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.